Did you ever get something in your craw and it just gnaws at you and gnaws at you and you can't get it off your mind? I've been like that since about 9:30 Wednesday morning. And I've decided in the last few minutes to put off the sermon that I had scheduled for tonight on Forget Not God. And we'll get into that next week or the next week. Wednesday morning, Everett Huppert is teaching a class of men on the subject of Islam, talking about the attitude of Muslims, and especially the religion of Islam. I have appreciated the opportunity to be in that class and to learn, because I knew very little about this religion. And I'm convinced that especially because of the growth process of it, even in our nation today, that we do need to be aware of it. We've been studying for several weeks on this subject, but Wednesday morning, with the use of an overhead projector, Brother Hufford drew some comparisons and some contrasts between Islam and Christianity. One thing, for example, that he showed is that the Islam religion has a tendency to emphasize the group, and as Christians, we have a tendency to emphasize the individual. And then down at the bottom of this particular transparency, on one side he had a circle and on the other side a circle. And under the side where he was talking about Christians, in the middle of that circle he had the word love. And on the side where he was talking about Islam, in the middle of the circle he had the word honor. Honor. He went on to explain what that meant to the average Muslim. He talked about then, and had talked about before, how that certain times during the day, no matter where one is, even carrying his prayer cloth with him, he will stop on his job. In some instances, they'll even stop a bus and the people will get out and get down on that prayer cloth and kneel facing Mecca and pray to the one God in which they believe. And I sat and thought about how many years I have been preaching in the church trying to beg Christians to assemble to worship in a religion that we believe to be the religion of the Bible. And then hear descriptions like this of how dedicated those folks are to even carry their prayer cloth with them to get down and pray God, pray to God. And then I listened as he described from experience some of the association that he had had with families and the respect that was there, particularly for the wife to her husband. And though there may be some problems that we would see in the other direction, at least an attitude of honor on the part of the husband toward his family. And I stopped and thought about things that I hear almost on a daily basis, about some of the actions that husbands and wives have toward each other among those of us that are Christians. I heard him describe the attitude of the young folks toward morals and the attitude of the family toward morals, even to the extreme, and this is an extreme certainly that would violate God's word, that when a young woman in the family became pregnant outside of marriage, that sometimes the family would see that she had an accident or even shoot her because of the honor that was involved with the family. And all of a sudden it just dawned on me, here may be the root of many of our problems. We have for years more or less emphasized the idea that the highest motivation that we have for serving God and serving one another is love. And I suppose there is no subject that is emphasized anymore. And I certainly am not suggesting tonight that we need to emphasize it any less. We have more or less come to the idea, and I think this is the point that he was making, that in the system of Christianity, we're saying that we are motivated to do what we do because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Look how much God did for us and how much he promises us. And it just all of a sudden seemed to be pointed out that maybe there is a higher motive than love. And maybe with all the problems that are associated with the Islam religion, they may have discovered some things that you and I need to discover. And particularly on this point, may have discovered something, if we could discover it and apply it, it would solve just about most of our problems. I don't believe that we'd have to spend a lot of time talking about behavior. Behavior in worship services, young people, older people, or whoever. We just understood the concept of honor. I don't believe there would be those reports that come sometimes from classes of Christian young people if we understood the concept of honor. And would we have most of the problems that we have in our schools that have to do with cheating and lying and stealing and misrepresenting the situation if we really understood this concept of honor? I requested that that song be sung a moment ago. We don't sing it much here. I remember singing it on a regular basis when I was a boy. Worthy of praise, worthy of glory, worthy of honor. Worthy of honor. And I'm convinced the more I learn that the Muslims have learned one thing that many of us have not learned, and that is above everything else, our God is worthy of honor. And it's used in the Bible in many other ways. Since Wednesday, I've tried to just let my mind wander through particularly the New Testament and think of passages that say what I'm trying to say tonight. One of them was read a few minutes ago from Romans 13, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that's in Romans 13, which is in the setting of talking about living a life as a citizen and being subject to the government. Honor to whom honor. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. There's that word honor. Did just a little bit of research this afternoon on the subject of honor, the word honor, and it basically is used in most ways in the Bible to emphasize something that is of value. And some translations translate this word that's translated honor in this one as respect. In one or two places where he's talking about giving honor, he uses the translation uses the idea of recognition. Recognition of the position of a person, or recognition of the situation or the circumstances. Having the right kind of respect toward that, having an attitude of honor. Let me just share with you for a few minutes some passages that emphasize this. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. There's the love, but listen to the rest of it. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, do we honor each other? Do we really promote this idea that we do on a regular basis of putting others first and the needs of others first? Do we do that out of honor? I believe that's what that passage is saying. In honor, preferring one another, wanting what is best for someone else instead of being selfish, being unselfish. But it's interesting that he ties it to the concept of honor. Over in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in the earlier part of that chapter, at verse 3, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Down at verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. We have a tendency to emphasize the idea of authority, and along with that goes respect, and these ideas are related. Notice he talks about honor associated with the elders. And then in the 6th chapter at verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. You mean when I go to work, I ought to honor my boss? When I go to school, I ought to honor my teacher, my coach, my principal? I sort of believe that's what that's saying. Honor. Now, these are passages that are talking about relationships among men, among human beings. One another, Romans 12:10. Widows, taking care of them, being interested in them. Why? Yes, there's a need there, but he says honor. There's some honor associated with it. Our respect for the elders and our leaders and their position in the work of the church, he says this ought to be something where there is honor. And even on the job, the servant-master relationship, which would come closer to being our employer-employee and teacher-student relationship than probably anything else, he says that the one who is the servant is to count their own masters worthy of honor. Folks, could it be that some of our problems that we have on the job and at school and in the community are because we have forgotten a little bit about the subject of honor? And then he goes on there in that passage in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 and says, honor the king. And back in this passage in Romans 13, verse 7, he's talking about tribute and custom. And back in verse 5, he says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. You see the blue light flashing behind you. Are you concerned about getting a ticket? Or do you have concern about whether or not you have honored the law? How many times in the last year have you heard discussion about the subject of how there is not the respect for our policemen and law enforcement officers that there used to be? Very timely, isn't it? For conscience' sake, he says. Not just because, when you hear a siren like that, do you think somebody's coming after you? I will admit, even if I've got my car set on the speed limit on cruise control and I see a blue light, I automatically hit the brake. I automatically do. But folks, what has happened in our time with the generation that's growing up today? Where is our honor for those that are in authority, for those that are in government? And then there is the family. You know the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What comes next? Honor thy father and thy mother. When I was growing up as a teenager, particularly, and even in earlier years, I think there was a time when, honestly, I had rather been killed than to do something that I thought would bring dishonor to my dad and mother. I'm sure there were times when I met temptations, and yes, young folks, we had temptations too, that there probably was not a stronger point, even though in my teenage years I was preaching most of the time, I don't believe there was a stronger point in my life than the honor that I felt for my dad and mother. I just don't believe I could have stood it. To know that I had willfully, now all of us make mistakes, sometimes it may not be an honorable thing, but that I had willfully done something that had brought dishonor to my dad and my mother. Children, honor your father and your mother. And let me tell you something, young folks. If you honor your dad and mother, a lot of the other problems that are discussed sometimes about behavior in this building and outside of this building will vanish. Particularly when we tie it to another point in just a moment. Honor thy father and thy mother. And before those of us that are fathers and mothers let our egos get too large and start saying, I told you so, let me share with you a verse that talks particularly to husbands in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, where he has just been discussing in the first 6 verses the attitude that the wife is to have toward her husband. And now turns to the husband, and among other things, he says, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife. I hear sometimes of husbands hitting their wives. I just cannot understand that. How can I honor my wife? If I would allow myself to become involved, and maybe sometimes the verbal hitting is even worse than the physical hitting. Now, there have been some times when Judy did some things that I started to say made me angry, at least got my dander up. And there are some times that I had to walk away or she had to walk away. She's not done everything that I wanted her to, and if you can imagine, I've not done everything that she wanted me to. I told someone the other day in making a speech, someone said, have you ever considered divorce? And I said, no, murder a few times, but not divorce. And I don't believe that there is a family here tonight that's perfect, that there's a relationship that is perfect. Maybe we're like the couple that said we don't ever go to bed mad at each other. Sometimes we sit up all night, but we don't go to bed mad at each other. And I'm saying that to get you to focus in on the point. Folks, how can a man and a woman who are in love with each other enough to begin a life together and make their vows together ever have anything less than honor for each other? And if a husband and wife have honor toward one another, they're necessarily going to have honor toward their children. It's interesting, and I thought especially after seeing that contrast between Islam and Christianity, it's interesting that right in the family circle, God's book says to Christians, you live with honor. You live in a way to honor your parents. You live in a way to honor your wife. You live in a way to honor your husband. And even as parents, let's don't overlook this, you live in a way to honor your children. And in a way that is honorable so that they can follow in your footsteps and it be an honorable kind of life. Isn't it interesting that he says to children and he says to the husband particularly, in this family relationship, one of the key ingredients is honor. And then in these passages that I've already read, you noticed, I'm sure, that he talks about the relationship that we have to God. There in 1 Peter 2:17, where he says, honor all men and honor the king, he says, fear God, which may have been an intention to make it an even stronger form of honor, but certainly honor is involved. Listen to Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy to receive honor. In the 5th chapter at verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And that's just a few of the places in Revelation where this idea of honor is mentioned, and those that were around the throne of God would honor him for an eternity. Here he's talking about even while people are still on the earth, that not only those that are in heaven, the angels certainly honor God, but he says those that are on earth and everybody gives honor to God. John the 5th chapter in verse 23, written in red, Jesus said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You just sort of get the idea, don't you, that this idea of honor is very much involved. And maybe we need to come back and learn from those that we believe are wrong in many ways, but maybe right, especially on this point, in their attitude toward God. How can I honor my God and willfully be involved in activities that are diametrically opposed to His Word. How can I honor my dad and mother and not try to behave myself and conduct myself in a way that is according to what the Bible teaches as to how a Christian should act? Sometimes when I hear some of these reports of things that are going on, I stop and ask, are they not Christians? Most of our teenagers are Christians. Most of our college, university students are Christians. Most of us that are adults are Christians. Folks, it's high time that we came not to de-emphasize love, not to belittle or diminish that in any way, but to come around and see that there is a need for some honor. And I believe this is one thing that the religion of Islam has discovered. Most every decision that they make, relative to the job, relative to the family, to the community, all relationships, and especially their relationship to God, is based on honor. And I ask you tonight to join with me in determining more than we have ever determined before that we're going to try to conduct ourselves inside the church building and outside the church building in such a way that we can honor our parents and our families and our friends, and especially honor our God. And if perhaps we're doing something that is less than honorable, we need to really stop and think about our decisions tonight. There may be those who need to come and in a public way ask for forgiveness. But maybe more than that, there may be many of us here tonight who need to make some decisions in a private way, that I'm going to conduct my life in such a way that I will never knowingly and willingly bring dishonor to my parents and to my Heavenly Father. The greatest honor that I can do, or that you can do for your family and for your God, is to be a Christian. Not just wear the name. Be a Christian and live the Christian life. You've not begun that. You need to be baptized into Christ tonight. If you have, and you've not lived an honorable life, I didn't say a perfect life, an honorable life, if it's known publicly, suggest to you need to strongly consider making it right public. And let's determine that we're going to let honor be one of the highest motivations that we ever have to serve our God and our fellow man. You need to honor God with obedience. Come as together with the family.
There's a great day coming, a great day.